Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for your purposes in our lives, Father. And as you release your word into us, Father, we know that the word is being released into us, O God, with purpose, with the direction, O God, with a reality, O God, of a destiny that you have for each one of our lives. As you unveil your thoughts into us, as you manifest, O God, your thoughts in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you bring it forth in us, O God, in the substance of the Master's fullness, as you build us, as you unveil in us a heart of flesh, Father, we pray that you will enable us, O God, to rise to be all that you want us to be, Father. So as you give us your word, Father, let the word become in us, O God, flesh, Father. Let it become, O God, the substance of the Master's fullness. Let it communicate into us his fullness, enabling us, O God, to unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus your workmanship manifested by the Holy Spirit, your workmanship ordained, O God, in the kind intentions of your will, your workmanship manifested, O God, in the living reality of your counsels, so that your will, O God, will indeed be fulfilled in each one of our lives. Your word proclaims that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. And as we get into the subject of revelation knowledge, Father, we begin to realize, O God, indeed, O Lord, you have an awesome purpose with each one of us, Lord. Indeed, O God, there is a whole universe of reality, Father, that you want to bring into us, Father. There is an awesome reality of the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and all of your word, Father, to be manifested, to be realized in our beings, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be taught by you, for the privilege, O God, of receiving from you, for the privilege, O God, of being enlightened in your light, Father, of receiving and realizing through the word the light of your life, Father. So we pray that the light of your life will manifest in us, O God, new functions, Father, will manifest in us a deeper and a greater reality of life, O Lord, as we each rise into the mount of the Lord through the heart that you are creating within us, Father. So bless us, O God, by causing our heart to increase, Father, even as we receive and realize the testimony of Jesus. So we pray that you will truly explain your word to us in the flesh and blood of the Lamb, Father. Explain your word to us in a living covenant, O God, manifested in us in the substance of his fullness. We pray for this realization to come forth in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about a heart of flesh, that revelation knowledge manifests a heart of flesh, and that heart of flesh is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's a fulfillment of the law and the prophets, right? So today we want to look at what it is that is a heart of flesh, right? We want to look at what is the heart of flesh. What does it constitute? And what does God bring forth through such a heart? What are the functions he brings forth? Let's just see how the Holy Spirit leads us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. A verse now that all of you should be very familiar with, right? It's one of the very basic passages of Scripture that we need to enter into. I'm going to read from the New King James Bible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of hope. Faith is the substance of hope. The Greek word for substance here is the Greek word hypostasis. The Greek word hypostasis. And it's a very important word because it gives us an idea of what God means when he says that he gives us a heart of flesh. The heart of flesh is of the substance. The substance of what God brings into us as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very important to understand that it is hope on the Lord Jesus Christ that manifests the substance that is of the truth, which is why Jesus said, I am the truth. And so as we set our hope, as we learn how to set our hope, right, our teaching on the basics of revelation knowledge said that at the heart of revelation knowledge is the reality of the revelation of Christ Jesus, the reality of him being revealed to our hearts. And we need to understand that him being revealed to us is the very essence of everything that God wants to bring into our lives, right? It is the very essence of what God wants to bring into our lives. All right. So faith is the substance of hope. And that substance of hope becomes an evidence. All right. So this Greek word substance, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let me first read from the New King James Version, and then I'll read from the New American Standard. Talking about Jesus, and it says in the King James Version, or New King James Version, who being the brightness of his glory, the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I just want to focus on the first half of the passage. It's talking about Jesus, and it describes the Lord Jesus Christ as the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his hypostasis, his person. Right? So the word, Greek word for hypostasis there is person. Alright? So we find here an insight that the Greek word hypostasis relates to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Okay. Let's read it from the New American Standard. And it says here that he is the radiance of his glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his hypostasis. And the word hypostasis is translated as nature. It's translated as nature. If you have an NIV, you will find that it is translated as being. Right? Being. So now we have an insight into this word called hypostasis. Now there can be no word in any language that has got such a wide span of meanings. Alright? Substance, person, nature, being. What it tells you is that God is using this word hypostasis in the book of Hebrews to unfold a mystery to us. He's trying to give us an insight of what is this substance that God wants to bring into our lives in a heart of flesh. And what we can say from this verse is that the substance that God wants to bring into our heart of flesh is of the person, the nature, and the being of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we receive is at a subordinate level, it is at a dependent level, it is at a derivative level. I hope you understand those words. Otherwise, you will get away with the idea that God is making us another God. All right? So that's not true. All right? And we need to understand that the substance is of the Master's person, it is of the Master's being, it is of the Master's nature. John chapter 1 verse 16 describes it as the Master's fullness. Alright? The Master's fullness. Of his fullness we have all received. What does this fullness represent? The fullness of his person, the fullness of his nature, the fullness of his being. Manifested in us in substance that forms a heart of flesh. And remember the verse that we read last week. John chapter 6 verse 53, it says that this is the flesh of the Son of Man. So that's why I used three words that are very important for us to understand. Dependent, subordinate, and derivative. Right? Are you with me? It is at a subordinate level. Alright? And we need to always understand that. But the good news is, of his fullness we have all received. And we have received, right, as living members of his body. And God has the purpose of manifesting the fullness of Jesus Christ in us in order to unveil a new creation. Now you can understand Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, which says, what does Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 say? Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? Now we understand how God creates us. God creates us in Christ Jesus in the substance of his fullness. And this reality is entirely the workmanship of God. And this workmanship of God is meant to be manifested in the good works that the Father has ordained from the beginning. And God, the Father has ordained good works from each and every one of our lives. But those good works are going to be defined in the substance of the Master's fullness. They're going to be of His fullness. And we need to understand this. So what does that tell us about faith? That faith must be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we set our hope, we must set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on things that are derived, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the substance of our hope will be of His fullness. It's very important. Alright? It's very important. Now Hebrews tells us something about that. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. And this is an important verse because it gives us an insight of what God wants to do with all of this hypostasis. What does God want to do with the hypostasis that He is manifesting to us? Right? What happens to this hypostasis? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Right? We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, right, steadfast to the end. Now the Greek word for confidence there is hypostasis. Right? The Greek word for confidence there is hypostasis. Are you with me? So what does it result in? You become a partaker of Christ, and the reality of becoming a partaker of Christ is unveiled in a confidence based on the substance of the Master's fullness that you have received and realized. It is not just cooked up. The evidence is definite. The evidence is substantive. The evidence is true. It is entirely of the Master's fullness. So now you can understand Ephesians 2:10. We are being created in Christ Jesus, and this is the workmanship of the living God. Right? So revelation knowledge is a creative reality, provided that revelation knowledge is entirely unveiled in the name of Jesus. Now do you understand now why it is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life to us? Why it is He is the bread of life. The bread of life is the substance of His fullness. And the bread of life is made manifest to us, right? Right? In His nature, in His being, and in His person. But we are talking of His being, His person, and His nature unveiling to us a fullness that is of Him, that manifests in us on a dependent, subordinate, and derivative level. Are you listening? Right? So we are fashioned in His fullness, and we unveil in His image. Are you with me? Now the reason why we can manifest in His image is because the fullness is of Him. Alright? So John 1:16, of His fullness we have all received. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many creation. Jesus Christ became the blueprint, the firstborn. And we are manifested in His image. Right? It's very important to understand in His image. Right? In His image. In His likeness. The likeness of His person, the likeness of His nature, the likeness of His being. Right? But all that is manifested at a subordinate level, at a dependent level, at a derivative level. Jesus is the Lord. He is the head. He is the head. Are you listening? He is the head. Alright? And He must be the head. And our thinking must always be such that Jesus Christ is preeminent in our hearts. That He is preeminent in our lives. This is very, very important. Otherwise, what we are teaching today can also lead to dangerous error. Alright? You'll end up where dear Lucille ended up, thinking that he could become God himself. Alright? Are you listening? Alright? So you will find that there are many different forms of religion that also say that we are gods. Alright? So, there's a very thin line between truth and darkness. Alright? And you can switch from one to the other based on your thoughts. Right? Based on your intents and your desires. Hello? That's why we must understand that we must be conformed to Christ Jesus. The substance must be of Him. And the only way the substance can be of Him is if we set our hope on Him. We set our hope on Him. That's why revelation knowledge is based, right, on Him. Otherwise, it will unveil something called the realm of the occult. All right? That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All right? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. The knowledge that you have must unveil in my name. I must be that light to you. I am the light. We have said that revelation knowledge manifests light. Now Jesus Christ makes that definitive statement. I am the light. Are you listening? I am the light. The light is of me. It is the light of life. All right? You listening? It is the light of life. Right? It stands in my name. That light stands in my name. It stands in my merits. That light is a manifestation of the substance of my fullness. And the substance of my fullness, when it manifests in an enlightened reality, unveils as a radiance within you. And that radiance makes you a morning star. But don't forget, I am the bright morning star. And you must understand that. So we are being created in the image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ reflects His being, reflects His person, reflects His nature. Right? And that reflection of His person, that reflection of His nature, that reflection of His being unveils in us in substance. And that substance, when it becomes a reality inside of us, it has a radiance. And that radiance of His substance makes us light beings. Are you listening? Alright? So if you read James chapter 1 verse 17 and 18, you find that every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift, comes from the Father of lights, with whom, right, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Right? Coming down for the Father of lights, being manifested in us in the substance of the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So as you are anointed, as you are blessed, as your heart is increased, as the light within you is increased, you must all understand that it is all manifesting in the name of Jesus. And you and I must always develop all that God is putting into us in the name of Jesus. We must have this gratitude in our hearts that it is of Jesus Christ that we are receiving. This is not of our merits. This is entirely a manifestation of grace upon grace upon grace. That's why John 1:16 says, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Hello. We are receiving His fullness and grace upon grace. Are you listening? Alright. Now when we say that hypostasis is manifested at a subordinate, at a dependent, and at a derivative level, what do we really mean? How is it manifested like that? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So this reality of subordinate, dependent and derivative arises through the faith and love of Jesus for you. The faith and love of Jesus for you is what constitutes grace. Hello? Faith is substance. Correct? Hello? That substance of His fullness was manifested for you in a reality of love on the cross. Are you with me? And that reality of His faith and love consecrated for you and me on the cross, expressed towards us on the cross, is what enables us to receive grace upon grace that unveils the fullness of Jesus Christ. Though the fullness of Jesus Christ comes to us in His faith and His love for you and me. And it's a personal faith and it's a personal love. And as you grow, you are growing because of His faith and His love for your life. Are you listening? As you grow as a Christian, as you grow and you begin to discover the awesome things that God has given you, always remember, it has come to you because of His faith and His love for you. Are you listening? Now Jesus Christ manifests His faith and His love for you in two realities that we read in the Bible. All right, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Let's read for context from verse 13, and we're going to end up in the first part of verse 15. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who had been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant. Jesus Christ is a mediator of the new covenant. In this process of mediating the new covenant into the tablets of your heart and my heart, Jesus is continually expressing His faith and His love over each one of us. Are you listening? Do you realize that this is a very personal mediation? Because the mediation of the covenant into your hearts, your heart and my heart, is of the substance of His fullness. It is of His flesh. Are you listening? And that substance of His fullness, which is His flesh, is being mediated into us through the living Word of God. Are you listening? Okay. So do you understand why it is dependent, derivative and subordinate? Because it is being brought into you in a reality of being mediated. We do not receive anything in our merits. We receive all things by grace, and this grace is defined in the faith and love of the Master being actually expressed as each and every bit of substance is manifested in us. Imagine what kind of love that is. Hello, He not only went to die for us on the cross. He not only just manifested a faith and a love for us on the cross. He's actually mediating that reality that He unveiled at the cross into our being. And there are so many of us, and each one of us is chronic in our own ways, isn't it? Hello, you've got your own specific chronic ways. I have got mine, right? All of us have got them, right? And he sits there and he mediates the life into us. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Right? Talk about love. Do you realize why we need to understand how much we are loved? Right? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Right? I'm going to read from verse 22 to verse 25. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Do you understand how he becomes the guarantee of a better covenant? He becomes the guarantee because that covenant is manifested in the substance of his fullness, and that substance of his fullness is being mediated into us through his ministry. And that establishes a guarantee over our lives. Do you understand that we need to treat this with holiness? We can't misuse the name of Jesus. Are you listening? We can't misuse the name of Jesus. All right, let's carry on. Verse 23, and the former priests on the one hand existed in great numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Now, what does that mean? He holds his priesthood permanently. What does he do with his priesthood? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. What kind of calling? Heavenly calling. Consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. What does apostle mean? The messenger. In what way is he the messenger? He is manifesting, right, the testimony of God to us in the substance of his fullness. And how is he the high priest? He is mediating this creative process being manifested into us before God. He's mediating it in his merits. He's mediating it by being an intercessor for us at all times. Where is that written? Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Always lives to make intercession for them. What an amazing love. Hello, have you ever interceded for somebody? One person? And he lives forever to intercede for us? Hello. Do you realize that as we grow in the Lord, there is nothing to boast about except in the Lord? Everything has been received from him. It is of the substance of his fullness given to us through a sacrifice. And that substance of his fullness, right, is being mediated into us. And in the process of mediating it, he is continually interceding for us. What an amazing person he is. Do you understand why he must be the head? Do you also understand why we have to glorify his name? Why there is no question of glorifying anybody else's name? It has to be his name because nobody else will do that for you. Hello? We just talked about grace, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, correct? And it says, grace is given to us in the faith and love of Jesus. Now, the faith and love of Jesus was expressed for us on the cross. The faith and love of Jesus is still being expressed in your life and my life as he mediates his fullness into us. And the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ is also being expressed as he intercedes for us. What an amazing high priest. Hello. Do you know that the one third of the angels that fell began by saying that Lucifer would be their high priest? All right. So we have an amazing reality here, right? In revelation knowledge. So revelation knowledge manifests to us in the substance of the Master's fullness. That substance is of his person, his nature, and his being, manifested to us at a subordinate, dependent, and derivative level. Subordinate means always at a lower plane. He is the Lord. He is the head. And there can be no other head. Are you with me? Subordinate, dependent. That means this whole reality works only in the name of Jesus. It doesn't work because of an anointing. It doesn't work because of a gifting. It only works and it exists in the name of Jesus. Derivative. That means there has to be a continual process of receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ alive within us. Are you listening? There has to be a continual process of receiving and realizing from the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that process life. We call that process life. The life that comes to us flows from Him. Flows from Him. Are you with me? It is given to us in His fullness. It is described to us in His fullness. It is manifested to us in His faith and His love for us. And as we receive and realize of His faith and His love, the substance of His fullness unveils us as sons of the living God. Are you listening? And all this is brought to us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else can minister such a reality into your being and my being. Amen? Makes sense? Right? Let's go back and read John 16 so that we understand this very clearly. John chapter 16. Let's read verse 13 first. John 16, verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Now Jesus said, I am the truth, correct? I am the truth. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. But all of that truth concerns me. All of that truth is based on who I am and all that I am. And that's what the Holy Spirit does inside of you and me. Next verse, verse 14. He repeats, He shall glorify me. That is, the Holy Spirit shall glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Now we know that that disclosure comes with substance. That disclosure comes with a character and a nature. That disclosure comes in the reality of who He is and all that He is. That disclosure comes in the fullness of Christ Jesus. That disclosure is a creative process. That disclosure manifests in substance and reality within your being. It makes you a new creation in the image and fullness of Christ Jesus. Are you listening, brethren? Amen. Now in that position, if as long as that process is happening, Jesus then goes on to say, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. What is God saying? That God is raising us in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is raising us in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can receive all that the Father has for His sons. And all that the Father has for His sons is described in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Okay. All right. Now let's go back to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Listening? The fullness is of Jesus Christ. What does that really mean? It means that anything and everything that God brings into our lives is going to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Anything and everything that God brings into your life and my life has to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ for it to be the truth that sets us free. So what is God doing with us? He's unfolding us in the name of Jesus. So if you and I are fashioned and made in the fullness of Jesus Christ, what is it that will come forth from us? Everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed will be in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the substance of our creation in Christ is of his fullness. Amen. And if it is of his fullness, automatically, whatever we do, it will be in his name. Amen? Are you listening? So this process of revelation knowledge is a creative process in which God unveils the fullness of Christ Jesus into us so that we can receive and hold all that God has for us. We hold it because the substance is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because the substance is of his person, it's reflective of his person, the substance is reflective of his being, the substance is of his nature. And you and I unveil as a peculiar people, a chosen people, an anointed people. An anointed people established in the name of Jesus at an entirely subordinate, dependent, and derivative level. And we must understand this, and we must grow in this. Are you with me? We must grow in this. It's very crucial that we understand this and grow in this. So the fullness that is to fill all in all is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And now you can understand why Ephesians chapter 1, let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 defines the body of Christ this way. It says, the last two words in verse 22, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are only the church when we are in his fullness, and we are concerned with manifesting his fullness so that his fullness will fill all in all. Are you with me? That's the task that has been given to the church, to unveil the fullness of Jesus Christ into all in all. So it all starts with his fullness being manifested into the all in all of our own being. Make sense? And in that process, we unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And this new creation is the workmanship of God. Listening? Praise the Lord. Amen. So do you know now why Jesus Christ saves us? Because his substance is being manifested into us. This is why we are saved in his merits. We are saved by all that he has done for us. And how is his fullness being communicated to us? Through his faith and his love for us. Through this reality that he is mediating a covenant of life into our hearts. And he's interceding so that the mistakes we make will find a solution in Him and by Him and through Him. And we will be continually restored to the reality of grace that God has defined in His fullness. Brethren, I put it to you that grace has got no meaning without the fullness of Jesus Christ. Grace has got no meaning without the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because without the fullness of Jesus Christ, we will go back into sin. Only the fullness of Jesus Christ can bring us into the realization of the righteousness of God. And the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the righteousness of our God. He has done something for us. And what He has done, He is communicating into us so that He is continually doing something with us. Are you with me? We are called to live by all that comes from God. We are called to live by all that is sustained by God. We are called to live by all that is made alive in us and brought forth from us by the Lord our God. We are called to live in and by and through and for the Lord our God. That's life, brethren. And this life is not an intellectual concept. This life is of the Master's fullness. It is of substance. Amen? And that substance has a reality. That reality is a revelation reality. It has a witness. Where is the Word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. And between your mouth and your heart, there is a living witness. Are you with me? And that living witness is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And when we go into the teaching on the inward witness, you will discover that that witness is defined in blood, water, and spirit. And that witness of blood, water, and spirit is the witness that the Lord released for us at the cross. Are you with me? John 19 verse 30, Jesus surrenders His spirit to the Father. John 19 verse 34, the Roman soldier pierces Him and out flows blood and water. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8, John the apostle says that there is a witness on earth that is blood, water and spirit. That witness of blood, water, and spirit is to be manifested in you and me. So everything in us is to come alive in the name of Jesus. And everything that is alive in us in the name of Jesus is brought forth in us by the Holy Spirit. So everything that God is doing with you and me, it is being established within us. Are you listening? All right? So this reality is a revealed reality. It's a reality that is revealed. Listen very carefully to that, all right? Now let's go back and read Exodus chapter 32, verse 16. Let's read for context from verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Now we know that those tablets are of the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And we also know that the writing is a revelation reality. A reality of revelation knowledge manifested within us by substance. And that revelation reality opens in us as a witness. Are you with me? And that witness is very clearly defined in blood, water, and spirit. So we are talking about a complex reality, but you realize that all of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is extremely intimate to all of us. That the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the basis of our entire creation in Christ Jesus. Hello. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is the basis in which we are called forth as a new creation. So what he offered on the cross is being manifested and brought alive in each one of us uniquely. It is the Holy Spirit who makes that communication of his fullness into us. It is the Holy Spirit who works us into the image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come forth as the workmanship of the living God. All this is the will of the Father. So now you understand those words. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and the reality that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ is a reality of grace upon grace. And in order for us to enter into this reality, all we have to do is exercise hope. Are you listening? You set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to introduce two verses that tell you how powerful hope is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now you understand why that happens. When you fix your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, it enables the substance of his fullness to manifest within you. That's why that verse says, when you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are purified even as he is pure. Are you with me? Because hope manifests the substance of his fullness, and the substance of his fullness unveils the evidence of you and I being purified in him. Are you listening? All right? Okay, so how do we exercise, what happens when we exercise hope? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. What happens when we exercise hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. What does hope do for you? It takes you instantaneously at the speed of thought behind the veil. You enter into the reality of the kingdom of God. And all that God has ordained to manifest the kingdom fullness in Christ Jesus is made available to you. Hello? Do you realize that that verse says your hope enables your soul to be anchored behind the veil? Isn't that a wonderful reality? Now all that is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So how do we grow as Christians? Very simple. You set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ continually. You pray. You pray that the Holy Spirit will build that reality of hope into your being. That there will be built into your conscious, your subconscious and your unconscious a continuum of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, your entire being will always be alive to the kingdom of God all the time, even when you sleep. Hello? That's why the psalmist writes that he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Right? That he gives to the beloved even in their sleep. You find this in the New American Standard, the translation of that psalm. It is found in Psalm, let me get that psalm, it's a nice psalm. It's a very common psalm. It's a psalm that we all read, but it's very wonderful. Right? Psalm 127. Look at how it's written, okay? Verse 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard. If you have the New American Standard, you will get this in its very powerful impact. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. These are translators' inserts. Even in his sleep. Hello?
On one side is the reality where you eat the painful labors of your hard work. All right? To eat the bread of painful labors. That's what we do in the natural. But in the other side, there is a reality of another kind of bread that comes to you as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and as you learn to rest in Him. And it says, for God gives to His beloved even in his sleep. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now Jesus Christ describes that in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And He was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Because the harvest has come. Are you listening, brethren? That's how we grow supernaturally. By learning how to rest in the Lord. By learning how to rest in what He has provided for us as grace upon grace upon grace. Aren't we a blessed people? Hello. Aren't we a blessed people? Do you know that the key to entering this reality is learning how to rest in the Lord? Do you know that when you set your hope on the Lord, you are learning how to rest in Him? Now, where does this idea of the rest come from? It comes out of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Seven is the number that represents, biblically, the reality of perfection and the process of being perfected. What is God saying? The only way you can be perfected and be made perfect is if you rest in Me. And you rest in Me by setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a supernatural reality of grace by which the substance of His fullness is manifested into you. Are you listening? Now, to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the Word of God, not emotion. You need the Word of God. Hello? You need the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that is going to communicate to you the substance of the Master's fullness. So you need to know the Word of God. You need to understand the Word of God. And in the realities that are carried in the Word of God, revealed to you as revelation knowledge, there is a communication of substance inside of you. And that substance is a creative process. Amen? So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Renewed, the old being made new. How? By the manifestation of the substance of the Master's fullness. Are you listening, brethren? All right, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Hello. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Listening? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. What is he saying? That the glory of God is unveiled to us in the light of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. What is this thing about his face? He's not talking about a physical face. He's talking about a construct of the word that enables you to see him. And he says, the more of Jesus that you see through his word, the more of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is manifested into you. And then in the next verse he says, this is the treasure that God gives. And this treasure unveils in you in the surpassing greatness of the power of God. It is not of yourself. It is a manifestation of grace upon grace. So how does the light unveil to our hearts? As you take your heart and you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening, brother? So today's tape is a very important tape. Last week's tape was also very important. Right? The substance is of the Master's fullness. There is no salvation outside the name of Jesus. There is no other reality that is going to be the way, the truth, and the life except that which opens in the I am of Jesus Christ. And the reason is because of the substance. Amen? And the substance of his fullness unfolds us as a new creation. Because the substance of his fullness unfolds us as a new creation, we can all grow. We can all grow. And in the substance that is communicated to us, everything that is within us will be manifested in the fullness of Jesus Christ. The wisdom will be of him. The knowledge will be of him. The light will be of him. The character will be of him. The nature will be of him. Hello? And all this unveils as we choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? The Word of God is given to us. Right? We hear, we listen, and using the Word of God, we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Depending on what we choose, depending on what we desire, depending on what we are looking for, right? The substance manifests. Are you listening? So you see, although we all set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the subsequent manifestation of the new creation is unique in each one of us. Amen. Take care what you listen to, brethren. For according to how you listen, it will be measured unto you. Right? You have read that in Mark chapter 4, right? Verses 22 to 25. Correct? Take care what you listen to. Right? Why does he say listen? Because as you listen, you have a basis to set your hope on the Lord. As you listen, you have a basis to set your hope on the Lord. Because as you listen, the listening must result in a manifestation of hope. And that manifestation of hope anchors your inward being behind the veil. Anchors your inward being behind the veil. How do you know when your inward being has walked out of the veil? Very simple, when darkness troubles you on the inside. All right? You lose your temper and you can really feel the difference, isn't it? You have a lustful thought and you can really see and feel the difference. Right? You have a selfish and prideful desire and you can feel the difference in your inward parts that you have walked out of God's presence. Are you with me? So the difference between light and darkness is just a thought. Are you with me? Okay. Let's just end with 1 John chapter 4. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. What is he talking about? That which denies the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. We are from God. He knows God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do you know the difference? By fixing your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know if somebody else is leading you into error when Jesus Christ just becomes someone who is an afterthought? Hello. Or someone starts preaching a Christ that is entirely contradictory to the Christ of the Scriptures. Are you listening? All right. So, you need to be sensitive to this because the wrong spirit manifests the wrong substance. Are you with me? Okay. So the Lord is talking to us and he's telling us that there is an awesome realm of grace open to all of us. So take hold of that realm of grace by fixing your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, you have given us so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today you have opened the scriptures to us, Father, to understand, Lord, that the substance of the fullness is entirely of him, Father. That if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, all that is within us will be transformed and changed. So teach us, O God, to set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us, O God, to set our hope on him. Teach us, O Lord, to receive of his fullness. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.